You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Dr. Shane Reddy.
This week for our weekly catch-up with Dr. Reddy, I asked him about the National Party's plans to scrap fair pay agreements. Fair pay legislation was passed last year, and the legislation required employers in certain sectors to negotiate minimum working conditions for employees with unions and employee representatives. Our interview began, however, with a question about National's potential lack of MPs of Pacific Island descent. As it currently stands, Angie Nicholas would be the only National MP of Pacific Island descent. Nicholas currently holds her seat by 30 votes, so it is possible that she may end up out of Parliament. I began by asking Dr. Reddy how National plans to make sure that the Pacific population of New Zealand is represented in their government. As it currently stands on the preliminary results, there would only be one MP of Pacific Island descent in the National caucus, Angie Nicholas, who currently holds the lead in Te Atatū by just 30 votes. There's potential that she might lose that lead with special votes being counted. So how can a new National government represent our Pacific Island population if there's potentially no MPs of Pacific Island descent in your caucus?
So we can't comment on what we don't know with the special votes to be returned. And as you say, currently Angie has that majority, but we'll see where the special votes go. What we have talked about is we have talked about the ongoing work to have diversity in the caucus. And in fact, if we look at the 2023 candidates, those in the top 40, we could see there were 22 women, 18 men. We had representation across non-Māori, Māori, Indian, Cook Island, Samoan, Korean, Filipino, Tongan and Chinese. So a wide range of diversity across our certainly the top 40 candidates in this campaign. Who New Zealanders select is then the privilege of democracy, and we'll continue to work to have that diversity. So we'll need to see where the special votes land, because that might also create other opportunities. Agnes Lohini is not far away on the list also. And we'll have to see what opportunities that creates. But what we won't shy away from is our commitment to Pacific people and their specific needs.
And we still do have to wait for the special votes to be counted. So I just wanted to switch over to fair pay agreements now. National campaigned on scrapping the fair pay agreement legislation that would look at ensuring minimum terms and conditions for workers across certain sectors. I was interested why your party would oppose having sector-wide guarantees on conditions for employees.
So our observation is that fair pay agreements are both costly, they're complex, and they mandate conditions on workers that reduce flexibility. And a flexible labour market has been one of the foundations of a relative economic success, and fair pay agreements undermine that foundation. Many also reflect back to the industrial awards, which fair payment agreements can look like, and the reasons they were removed, because they were hindering the labour market rather than helping it. So in our view, we think fair pay agreements, as I say, are costly, complex, and the mandatory conditions reduce flexibility in the workplace, and we think that flexibility is a good thing.
And we've already got minimum requirements in our workforce and in our employment agreements. There's a minimum wage, for example. So how does having minimum standards for workers decrease their flexibility?
Because what it allows is it allows a small portion of the workforce, 10% I believe is the trigger, to then generate a fair pay agreement that then becomes mandatory for the whole workforce. And we think the workforce can and should be able to be flexible from place to place.
On that note, though, when we look at minimum working conditions, I've been in the hospitality industry, and there's a lot of my colleagues who have either been underpaid or working long nights, night shifts, and minimum conditions would be a good thing in that scenario. So is it purely to benefit employers that you don't want fair pay agreements?
No, I think if we remove fair pay agreements or the process towards fair pay agreements, what we're looking to do is to stimulate the economy and create more jobs and create more opportunities. With those more jobs and more opportunities comes competition, which raises standards, and we think that it's really important to start lifting the economy and building the economy, which in fact creates more opportunities for workers.
Which policy do you think will have the biggest benefit for the people who are employees?
I think the biggest benefit will be putting more money in people's pockets through reducing taxes and shifting the tax brackets a New Zealand worker's pocket.
That was the National Party's Dr. Shane Reti.
That was What's Up with Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Dr. Shane Reti.
We'll be back after a quick break. Make sure you keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.